Hey, welcome, my people, my family, my tribe. This is the Enlightened Collective. And guess what? If you're listening to the sound of my voice right now, you're part of it. Welcome to the revelation. I have a lot in store for you on this episode. I've polled some of my close, like, circle of friends about this question, and it led me to everything. I mean, this right here, I'm gonna have to keep digging for a while to uncover a lot of this. Okay, here's the question. How come when you ask for advice from friends, family members, associates, whatever, the answer generally comes back with like eat, sleep, and sex? And what I mean by that is being comfortable. How comfortable are you? How affordable is your car? How your house and all of that? Or, you know, everything surrounded by food. It makes us happy and everything. And who's eating what? Who's doing what? And sex, if you're in a relationship or ever been in a relationship, if something, if you talk to somebody about it, or then their immediate response is who's cheating. It's never anything higher than that. Or, you know, if you meet somebody and you have an intellectual connection with them, it can never be innocent. I understand we lost innocence a long time ago as we grew up in this world, but and I also understand being aware of deception. But is there ever a, how do I say this? Is there ever a time when we can just be right because it is right? Anyway, that led me to, okay, it's a visual, and if you participate, you'll get it. If you hold out your right arm straight out, you know, with your shoulder, that's 3 o'clock. And if you hold up your left hand, hold it up straight above your head, that's 12 o'clock. And I'm going to refer to these as 3 o'clock and 12 o'clock. But at the point where it meets, it's like the day you were born. Okay. The 3 o'clock plane on the horizontal 3 o'clock plane, it's like the days of your life. How many days do you have? How many years do you have? It's been on my mind for a while that there are two ways that life gets judged. One is if you live 90 years and have a long life, they live the full life, you know, our grandparents and, you know, 90s, 80s, you know, and they live the full life. But then when you think about the 12 o'clock dimension, the vertical hand, it makes me think of like people like Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan, Mike Tyson, Tom Brady, Martin Luther King Jr., Mahatma Gandhi. I mean, you could say Abraham Lincoln, people that reached a level of excellence, accomplished goals, it wasn't about comfort and longevity. It was about being the best they could be and accomplishing something. You know, I mean, even, you know, Jesus only lived to 33 and we still talking about him. It that's kind of a joke, but okay. I want it to be like, for the people that were coming of age in the 90s, with Notorious Big and Tupac. They didn't live long lives, but 30, 40 years later, we're still talking about them. Their 12 o'clock was high. They hit a level of potential that we still embrace and talk about and revere today. And when I speak to people, that level of potential, how do I reach it? The steps to get there, it's like avoid it like the plague. No. Instead of sitting there thinking, how can I put up my retirement money? How can I save to fix this? How can I, set up a decent budget so I'm not under and I can start a savings plan? It's 3 o'clock thinking, let's go out to eat. Let's spend this money. Let's live for the day. Let's enjoy right now. And if you think and talk future plans, goals, I want more for my life than this, you tend to do it alone. Anyway, that's the title of this episode. 3 o'clock is easy. 3 o'clock is easy. I mean, and I got this from one of my friends, and he told me that just like when people tell you if starting a business was easy, everyone would do it. If making $1 million was easy, then everyone would do it. And that's when it dawned on me, 3 o'clock is easy, because that's where most people revert to. I mean, you talking about it's what, May, month of May right now, and around November, people will start breaking their necks to try to get as many overtime hours as they can. Christmas is coming. I have to take care of my kids. I have to, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my husband, my wife, my mom, I have to get them this. And then you start going into hyperdrive instead of setting the plan and setting the bar now. So when you get there, it's a whole lot easier. But we make it hard later. Instead of doing what you can now, working smarter, not harder, and make it greater later. I like that. I don't mean to rhyme, but it made me think of the Aesop fable of the grasshopper and the ants, where the grasshopper played all summer and the ants kept working, and the grasshopper was like, why y'all working so much? It's so nice out here. You should. And the ants was like, nope, we got to handle our business. And they were storing up food. And then when winter came and there was no more food for the grasshopper to find, he went and knocked on the ant's door. Could you please spare some food for me? And the ants told this dude, while you were playing, we were working. We knew winter was coming. Everybody knows winter is coming. But nobody wants to prepare for it. That's the difference between 3 o'clock and 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock people are preparing for everything. They're preparing for greatness. They think about, how can I be the best me that I can? Not just now, but in every moment of my life. And then that takes them on the vertical dimension as their 3 o'clock goes out. It makes a graph where every day of your life or every year of your life, you have valleys, you have peaks, you have really good times, you have times when you have accomplished something that you never thought you would accomplish. You were really high on that 12 scale. You were really high in that 12 dimension, in the vertical dimension. In the same age, the same year, you accomplished something and you reached You worked as hard as you could to get to a certain level and you accomplished it. As opposed to not working for anything, everything is just on autopilot. You know how much you're gonna get, you know how much your rent is, you know how much your light bill is, you know how much your car note is. So you coast. You become complacent. You get comfortable. You don't want to reach for anything, but you know what? Winter is coming, you guys. I heard Coach Michael J. Burt. I love his podcast. I get his books. If you check it out, look him up. I'm reading Flip the Switch now. Person of Interest is amazing. On Audible, he did the Audible of his book Flip the Switch, and it's called Prey Drive on Audible. He read it, and amazing. But what this man said was, he went into an office filled with his salespeople, and he told them 18,000. Do you know what the significance of this number is? And they were like, sales figures, your next attendance for your next conference. And he said, no. He said that the average life expectancy of a man is 78 years old. The average life expectancy of for a woman is 82 years old. So at his age on that day, he did the math. He said, I have, if I live that long, if I live longer, that's great. But if I live to average life expectancy for a man, I have 18,000 days left. 18,000 days to speak with my children, talk to my friends, love my wife. He said, I don't have time to mess around with mediocrity. I don't have time to be complacent and get comfortable and let everything I'm trying to do stagnate. I hope that resonates with you. We're not here for a long time, but we are here for a good time. Okay? I mean, I understand Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If you ever check that out, you can Google it, and it's like a pyramid. On the bottom of the pyramid is your physiological needs: air, water, food, shelter, sleep, clothing, reproduction. And it seems like that's where most minds stop. You don't have a limit on your thoughts. The next level up on Maslow's hierarchy of needs is safety needs, personal security, employment, resources, health, and property. The next level up is love and belonging, friendship, intimacy, family, sense of connection. Okay, do I belong? The level above that one is esteem, respect, self-esteem, status, recognition, strength, and freedom. Most people start to, this is where things get edgy, but the tippy top of this pyramid that Maslow put together is self-actualization, the desire to become the most that one can be. Now, most people don't get there because, okay, if me being the best me that I can be is way at the top, am I respected at home because I work so much? And am I taking care of the family? We have a house, we have food, they got clothes. I'm working so I can provide all this stuff. They gonna respect me. But are we really trying? We kind of negate that tippy top. That's 12 o'clock. That's the vertical dimension. I had a friend tell me when I asked this question to him, he told me that if you get the vertical dimension correct, the horizontal will fall in on its own. Look, I had part of this poll. Somebody brought up the Obama effect, that what we see affects how we believe. He told me about these kids in this school system, and 80% of the kids failed. This the year Obama got elected, and this is like in the hood, so it's a belief factor. 80% of those kids failed before the election. Then Obama gets elected, and with the school doing no extra training, no extra resources towards testing, but what they were seeing was that it is possible for them to be better than their current conditions and elements and environment. And they said, out of the 80% that failed and their scores were like below national average, the only thing that they could attribute their improvement to 80% of the students passing was the election. They saw Barack and Michelle up there and realized they look like me. Maybe I can do it. Maybe I can be president. And they started to work. That was the only thing that was different, was the election. And then these children started to behave and test different. In the book Power Versus Force by David R. Hawking, he has a map of consciousness, and you can Google it and look it up or get the book or whatever. But here's what he said about consciousness. We see, for instance, that a person in grief, which calibrates at the energy level of 75, will be in a much better condition if he rises to anger, which calibrates at 150. Anger itself, however, is a destructive emotion and is still low on a state of consciousness. It's still a low state of consciousness. But as social history shows, apathy can imprison entire subcultures as well as individuals. If the hopeless can come to wanting something better, desire is at 125, and then use the anger, the energy of anger at 150 to develop pride at 175, they may then be able to take the step to courage, which calibrates at 200, and proceed to actually improve their individual and collective conditions. Conversely, the person who has arrived at a habitual state of unconditional love will experience anything less to be unacceptable. As one advances in the evolution of his individual consciousness, the process becomes self-perpetuating and self-correcting, so that self-improvement becomes a way of life. This phenomenon can be commonly observed among members of 12-step groups who constantly work at overcoming negative attitudes such as self-pity or intolerance. People further down on the scale of consciousness may find these same attitudes unacceptable and will even righteously defend them. Look, okay, I study a lot. I need to know how this stuff can impact me. How can I use it? And the more I study, I've created a habit where this is all I think. This is the focus of my life. And okay, Deepak Chopra, and I didn't write down the title of the book, but here's what he said. In spiritual terms, success is measured by how efficiently, how effortlessly we co-create with the universe, how we use the blessing. I'm ad-libbing and adding on. How we use the blessing of God to make our life effortless. That is the spiritual term of success. He also says success is the ability to fulfill our desires with effortless ease. Success in life can be defined as the continued expansion of happiness and the progressive realization of worthy goals. That was a pause for dramatic effect. I will read that again. Success in life can be defined as the continued expansion of happiness and the progressive realization of worthy goals. 3 o'clock, we just try to make it through. We just going through. Things might not be right, but if I can get to the, I'm being tested. I'm just being tested beyond belief, and I need help. I need prayer. And look, success. Okay, the Thomas Troward said that, oh my goodness. This dude, now this is part of my like affirmation process, and I repeat this ad infinitum sometimes. My mind is a center of divine operation. The divine operation is always for expansion and fuller expression. And this means the production of something beyond what has gone before, something entirely new, not included in past experience, though proceeding out of it by an orderly sequence of growth. Therefore, since the divine cannot change its inherent nature, it must operate in the same manner in me. Consequently, in my own special world, of which I am the center, it will move forward to produce new conditions, always in advance of any that have gone before. I hope you got that. Look, our lives mean something, okay? You got to get into the details of your dreams, goals, and desires because you matter. You matter to God. Nature, everything is set up for you to succeed when you learn how. When you learn how to stop your mind from the negative chatter, from going to sewer town, everything is wrong, everybody. No. You must stop that. Look, some ways to do that, networking. Sometimes when you get around a certain group of people, the vibes change. I mean, birds of a feather flock together. If your friends are negative Nancy and you trying to be on some other stuff and trying to start businesses, and that might not help you on the inside and in your heart. Look, it's not about what everybody else does. Your journey is your own. You got to find your process. You got to find what works for you. You got to know what fills you on the inside. And you can take pieces from how other people did it. And it's not like a written manual on how it's done and how to do it. But you find out what works for you and you keep doing it. You create the habit and you add on more and more until it becomes easier, becomes effortless to create and use the laws of God and use the wisdom and create a life that you desire. I got so much on. I could probably do a part two on this because I've not even touched half my notes, but I've reached the end of my time. I wanted to thank you. If you like what was said, please share the podcast. That's the way the podcast will grow. And I wanted to put this out there about a book study on the 33 Strategies of War by Robert Greene. Okay, I'm going to keep talking about this on other podcasts, and we're setting up a date looking like July, end of July, August, when you have time or whatever. But you can get the book or get it on Audible and start doing your study. This isn't a class. This isn't a leader teaching. This is we study and we share information and share things that we
received from our personal study. If you are, if you would like to do something like this, email me at ascensionbinc, ASCENSION, the letter B, INC, at gmail.com, and just put in the subject heading, I want in. All right. Thank you. And peace.